The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
One of the things we're doing in chapel is just looking at these words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, hopefully with fresh eyes, familiar words of the Lord's Prayer, these petitions that we can easily pass over and be so familiar with, and yet allowing them hopefully anew to reflect and to pierce our hearts. As I've reflected on this passage and over the years and in talking with other mature Christians, not that I'm all that mature, but other people who are older than me, it seems as if this particular petition of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is perhaps the most difficult of all. And the question is why? And the short answer is this, is that this petition, unlike any other, really targets who I am. It targets my heart, and it targets what I believe in and what I would like to see done. Really, when Jesus teaches us to pray this, it questions and demands an answer of what is ruling our hearts. Are we living a life of submission to Him, a life of dependence? Or are we somehow asking for God to bless us, to do His will, but to get our way and to get our answer as we see it? Are we demanding of God things that are not in accordance with His will? As we ask and as we pray and come into His presence in prayer, are we seeking Him as our heavenly, loving and accepting Heavenly Father? Are we praying that His name will be glorified? And then third, are we looking for Him for the answer and the way that His name will be glorified? It's best and most positive sense as we read this petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's easy to read and to accept when things are going our way. When the church giving is up, when attendance is up, when it's a nice fall day like today, no rain clouds, it's sunny, we're in a good mood. But what about the difficult times? What about the times when we don't really understand God's answer? When we've prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and we have in mind what it should look like at the end, and it's not that way. What about the times when we have church sessions that are divided? What happens when things don't go as we planned, when people don't respond to our preaching in a very realistic way, that we've poured ourselves into our sermon, and yet we don't see the fruit, we don't see the results? When two Christians or groups of Christians are sharply divided into groups or to camps, this petition reminds us that in all situations and at all times, we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not to get our way or our side win or for us not to lose, but rather for God to accomplish His will and for us to accept and conform to that will. In order to illustrate this, rather than go through one passage exegetically as we often do, I'd like to just get little snippets of three separate passages of Scripture that give us little pictures of how people prayed for something and how the answer, or tried to do something to accomplish God's purposes, but yet the answer was not the answer that we might expect. Now, the first is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you turn there in your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David. This is what the Scripture tells us. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. He goes on to say in verse 7, why have you not built for me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. We see in this passage, and we don't have time to look into all the details, but David has in his mind is to build for God, now that David is in his palace, in his house, a place of permanence, a place of worship for the ark and for God to have a dwelling place with the people. We see here that he says this, and he says this to Nathan the prophet, and at first we think that he's going to get the go-ahead. He's going to get the green light. In verse 3, Nathan says to him, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. And yet, in the next verses, we read that Nathan comes back and says, through God, through the Lord speaking to him, by the way, you're not going to build the temple. In fact, you're not going to build a house for me. In fact, God reverses this in a dramatic, gracious way. In verse 11, moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. So David, as he comes and he says, I want to do something for God. God says, no. And as we read in Chronicles, very clearly, David says to the people, for me, I will not build this. For the Lord said to him, you may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood. And yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all my father's house to be king over Israel forever. And it was David's son Solomon who was to build and construct and have this time of peace and prosperity in Israel. Now we can look at this and say, why wouldn't God allow David to do this? Well, we read here that it was for his purposes that God would in turn be gracious to David. And rather than David building a house for God, God will respond by building a house for him. Not the way that we would naturally expect it. But God worked it for his glory and his majesty. And I think it's interesting to note also David's response in this chapter at the end. He sees the grace. He responds to the grace. And so this is an example of praying, hey, this is what I would like to do for God. And God honors it. Maybe not in the way that we would expect, but there's graciousness. There's good that comes out of it. And David responds by praising God. Solomon gets the glory. See, it's easy for us sometimes to think about that and to respond, yes, God's will is done there. But what about a passage, secondly, like Acts 16? If you turn in your Bibles to this. Seeing God actively advancing his kingdom, but not in the ways that we might think of. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. As they, Paul and Timothy, went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Here's a little hint for licensure and ordination exams. A few years ago, we had the person who was administering the exams, especially the licensure exams in the Philadelphia Presbytery, had a number of standard questions. And if you were a candidate, it behooved you greatly to come to those because he had certain questions, trick questions, if you will, that really he would ask regularly to get. And one of his standard questions that this elder would ask was, who prevented Paul from preaching the gospel in Asia? You would not believe the number of candidates that would say Satan. At which point, there'd be a small murmur among the elders and the presbytery, and the examiner would stop and raise his eyebrow and go, Satan? But we can see where that would make sense. We tend to think that if something is not helpful or advancing the kingdom of God, it must be from Satan. And if it's something good, it must be from God. If things are going well, then we must be receiving God's favor. After all, why would God? Why through the Holy Spirit? Why through the Spirit of Jesus, as it says here twice, would Paul be prevented from preaching the gospel? My answer is, I don't know. And see, that's what happens when we pray, not my will be done, not my kingdom come, but your will be done. God does things in different ways and at different times than we wouldn't. Scripture doesn't tell us why, and a lengthy explanation of why this was not to be so, why Paul was prevented. But we read here that he was called to Macedonia. You see, even in our Christian ministry, we may have the best plans. We may have the best strategy. And yet, there will be times in our churches, in our ministry, when it will be hard going. We may be tempted to ask, why isn't this easier? Why am I not empowered to go forth and do this plan that I would do? And the same answer I will give you, I don't know. Other than God has a specific time, a specific place, and a specific plan for his kingdom and his will to be done. It may be that the answer is wait. And this will take time to cultivate and grow and produce fruit. It may be that this is not the right place or the right time or the right people or the right setting. But in spite of that, God will be advancing his kingdom, demonstrating his will through you and to the people that you are ministering to. So when things don't seem to be going your way, take heart. Because as a minister, as a counselor, as a worker in God's kingdom, this prayer of not my will be done, but your will be done, is a comfort to us. Because if it were only up to us and what we were to accomplish, we'd be in a lot of trouble, quite frankly. You see, God is there with us in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our planning, in the midst of going forth. Sometimes open a door of blessing, as he did for David. Sometimes, as he did with Paul, closing the door and saying, not yet, not at this time. Third and finally, we see ultimately in the example of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. If you turn there, Matthew chapter 26, reflecting the words of the hymn that we sang this morning, of whatever my God ordains is right. Even though it is difficult, even though it is hard, even though we cannot see his will clearly, he is guiding us. He's sustaining us. Comforts me to know that even Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who is without sin, prayed this very prayer, that when he gives it to us in Matthew chapter 6, it's also at this crucial moment in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. So three times, Jesus, the very Son of God, who came born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, it is the very reason that he is here on this earth. And yet in the garden, praying with his disciples, praying to his Father, if there's any other way, then please do it. But not my will be done, but your will be done. We are commanded to pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because it puts us in this attitude of dependence. We look to our Heavenly Father. It is making his name holy when we are in a place of vulnerability, and we have to admit that we may not get the answer that we want and desire. It can be so easy to pray this petition while at the same time projecting what the will of God is. And yet, it is a firm affirmation to say, not my plans, not my decrees, not my desires, but God, your desires need to be done. Your will needs to be seen. Your kingdom needs to be advanced in the world, which strikes at the heart of who we are. It puts us again in the mindset and the framework of we are his children. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. And so today, I would call us all, for you, for me, to spend some time today, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, I don't know, 5 minutes, to get away and to pray, to look into our hearts, and to reflect on these three examples of Scripture for David, for Paul and Timothy, and ultimately our Lord Jesus Christ, to say, what is it that I'm living for? What is it that I'm trying to advance? What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? And to pray for God to open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart to see him, to see if possibly his will is something a little different. His will is challenging us to obey the area in our life that we are struggling with, to obey those areas of life that we know we need to submit to him. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin so that we can repent, so that we can fully do his will, even today. So again, my challenge is for you to spend, for me to spend time today, this week, saying, what is it, God? What is it about your will that needs to be done in my life? What is it that I'm holding on to and that I want to see done? Rather than saying, Lord, you do it. You accomplish what you will. Let's pray together. Father, would you do this in our hearts and in our lives? Thank you for these examples from Scripture that you give us of people coming to points in their lives. David desiring to build a temple and yet being told no. Paul and Timothy desiring to advance your gospel in Asia but being told no by you. For Lord Jesus Christ, you yourself coming and praying and pleading with the Father. If there's any other way, but not my will be done, your will be done. Will you give us insight into our own hearts? That when we pray this today, this week, as we live this out in our lives, that you would help us to be submissive to your will. That you would strengthen us in those areas that we struggle in, for those times of hurt and pain. When we say, this can't be right, this is not right, and yet you decree it. Give us strength in those times. In the times when we think things are going well, remind us again that it is not because of us, but it is because of you working in us. It is your gospel powerfully working in our hearts and our lives despite us. And may you receive the glory as we pray your will be done. And now may the love of our Heavenly Father, may the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may the peace and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always as you obey his will. Amen. Go in his peace.